This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Freedom Within, and the author is Teresa Alexander, and Teresa joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this special interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Teresa.
Good morning, Steve. Lovely to share with you and your listeners.
Well, great to have you with us all the way from Australia, Newcastle, Australia. It's just like you're in the studio with us.
I feel like I'm in the studio with you, and I have been to America, so I'm picturing myself there
okay.
Right here with the people.
Well, I'm going to read what you've written about your book, Freedom From Within. You say this, Freedom From Within guides readers through 26 chapters that have them reflecting on numerous questions posed for which they must find positive answers, such as, why the journey? Why life? Through these answers, they discover their own true selves. Each chapter takes them to a new level of self-awareness and offers them opportunity to rid themselves from the load of hurts and pain they carry and endure. Well, we're going to have you read some of your writings, your prose, and some of your poetry a little later. But first of all, tell us the experience that you had, this near-death experience that you had that motivated you to write the what you have done, Freedom From Within.
I was in hospital, Steve. I was not under the anesthetic. It was 3 days after my operation. They attempted something in the hospital that terrified me, and I decided to depart. And I knew that when my soul was out of my body, that what I thought was immediate. If I thought of a place, I was there. I could feel, I could touch, I couldn't touch, I had no physical form, but I could hear. And my mother and my grandmother had already passed, and I sent out the thought form, it's all by thought form, I'm not going to go back. And they said, you've got to go back. And I said, no, I'm not going back. And one of them sent the thought form, well, if you don't want your body, one of us will have it. Well, they called my bluff, and there was a jolt in my body immediately, and I was back in my body. So I knew from that time, Steve, that death is not the end. We pass off to a new dimension.
Well, some may find your story a bit controversial or even unbelievable, but it's your story, and it had a profound effect on you.
It had a big effect on me, and it's the reason that I wrote my book. I looked and I thought, okay, what's life about? It's not death, it's passing. It's not the end. There's a purpose for life, and freedom from within is the result of looking and writing.
You say when we are born, we are free. Somewhere, however, the joy is lost. Somewhere along the way, we allow our souls to slip into bondage. Now, how does that happen?
If we look at it this way, Steve, if we're going to climb a great big hill, we'd prefer not to carry a pack. But when we carry a pack of doubt, no self-worth, no self-esteem, and those other things, the pack gets heavier and heavier. And when we're born, we don't carry those things. And Freedom From Within will take the people through the 26 chapters to observe, and if they choose to, change and let go of the pain, and the weight will go so they can walk up the hill with no heavy pack and feel love around them and freedom.
Well, you want to help us discover and open our hearts to the divine presence within ourselves.
Most people, Steve, don't use the other 9/10 of the brain, and that is recognized by the scientists. And Freedom From Within is used from my 9/10 of the brain, and it is the gift of the divine. And once we use our 9/10 of our brain, we never feel alone again.
Well, share with us one of your writings, and you can make a comment after you read it.
Right, this is a short poem. It's called Open Pathways. Life has many chapters, from the first one to the end. The different ones who share them every now and then. The road is ours to travel, to live and understand that each day is the only day we hold within our hand. With freedom for today, the world is at our feet. Pathways are open, exciting as a treat. Take this moment to fulfill the experience of the heart. Know that deep within, you have lived your fullest part.
Very, very well said, right to the point. I love poetry because it creates so much emotion and pictures. You can see things.
The main thing I think about Freedom From Within is it's two books in one, and the second book follows The Gift of Love, which is meditation poems like this one that give people a chance to do true meditation. And true meditation means order of the mind, positive, loving energy, empowerment.
You want to help us escape from the bonds of the ego.
You know, I'm a professional counselor, Steve, and people come to me and say, should I marry this person? What do you think? And it always amazes me and makes me feel a little bit sad for them, because the heart path is what they need to open up. And when they're following the heart path, the job of the ego, which is actually at the stomach center, if you've ever felt a hard little nip coming in there, it's because you're feeling fear. And the job of the ego is to support the heart center to make it happen, not make the decision. The heart makes the decision. The ego supports it to bring it through.
Why don't you share another of your writings?
Oh, I like this one, Steve. Faith in your growth to beauty. Under the ground and the fertile earth are the bulbs awaiting their full creation. Maybe forgotten, maybe you know, they wait for suitable conditions. Nature lifts the temperature as they quietly begin to grow. In the dark unseen, you may not even know. Then the green shoots appear as they grow from the earth, with the promise of springtime to fulfill their true worth. The buds that form promise beauty to see, a scent so soft to please us now free. For the flowers now open in colour and form remind us our journey can suddenly transform. So if you appear blocked and you're not sure of the way, be still, count your blessings, your strength for today. Tomorrow will be brighter, your heart with a song, for faith in its beauty will carry you along. Your thoughts are your journey that you create while here. So be positive and think to sow goodwill and good cheer.
You've written so much, and what motivates or what creates the genesis of your writing? Is it some experience that happens, or just a thought, or a view of something? What creates this new idea that turns into a writing?
I've always had the ability to look at a person and to observe what's happening inside, and I have the gift to look at them and take a poem from inside them, and very often that poem is one that can give them strength. And there was another thing you touched on, Steve, and that was the word thought, and that is when people are aware that what they think is what they create in their life, whether immediately or years down the track. Freedom from within offers the opportunity through meditation to put their thoughts in order, order of love, so that they create love and not negative things.
So the purpose of meditation, give us some more on that.
Most people associate meditation with sitting quietly or having crystals or different things around them. Meditation's true form is when you observe that your mind is thinking all negative things, that you cannot do it, you will not do it, nobody loves me. Meditation is observing the thought, halting it, and changing it to an affirmation of, I am loved, I can do it, I want to do this, it's in my heart. That's what meditation is about, putting your own inner house in order.
And you write that God is thought.
This is interesting for people to look at, but at the end of the day, God is not in physical form, but it was written, in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. It shows that the first thought, and we are made in God's image, what we think eventually comes into form. God is total love. Total thoughts of love create love. Love cannot be fragmented unless the individual changes their thought, which would come from the ego.
And as you put it, our thoughts create our experiences.
Exactly, Steve. I think we're both working on the same page here.
Well, share with us another of your writings.
Can I read one for the American people, please, Steve?
Please, please.
I've been to America 3 times, and this is my perception. America, think big. It's on page 294. America, think big. From the prairies to the Grand Canyon size and beauty, the mighty sequoia, the biggest tree in the world, Yellowstone National Park with the tallest active geyser, the battle steamer on the mighty Mississippi River, Walt Disney's gift to the world for children, family, all, with the largest theme park that the world can play and laugh. My visits to America have been filled with joy and caring. The people reached out with interest, with genuine rich sharing. My taxi driver said, here in America, we can achieve anything we want. It isn't where you come from, but where you want to go. The thrill of seeing my first tumbleweed as it was blowing across the desert, seeing the beauty of the Bryce Canyon with its colors bright and true. In the autumn, the leaves change their shades of green to the brilliant shades of orange, finally going red or gold from autumn through to winter. The Statue of Liberty representing the power of free choice, freedom for all without constraint or voice, a country offering service to take the world to a better place. May the people unite to serve for this powerful, loving race.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that about America.
And thank you, Steve. God bless you all.
Now, you also say that freedom from within allows others to share this journey of the self, leading to true awareness of the inner self. And that takes work and self-reflection. How much self-reflection?
When we are born, Steve, if you've ever noticed a little child, they automatically have this awareness. It's only with the conditioning of putting in the other things of fear, away your empowerment, away your true self, that people lose the ability to connect with that 9/10 of the brain that's there to be used. And fortunately for me, mind has always been with me. And it's recognizing when your mind's going like a rocket and learning to be still, stand barefoot in the ground, get grounded, or walk amongst the bush. The thought will come to you, and you'll learn to trust it, and you'll never be alone again.
Well, in closing, please sum up death, dying, or living.
Steve, when my soul left my body with a near-death experience, I was shown death is not the end. Freedom from within is the gift and the answer to the purpose of life. And I know that people are interested. It's the most feared thing in the world, talking about life with death. And freedom from within will indicate that death is not the end. It's really all about living.
Why don't you share in closing one more of your writings?
This one's called The Airport. I think I must be coming to... Oh, no, this is one for you, Steve, because you asked
okay.
about this. The secret of the poem. When pain is in the heart and the soul is very troubled, we need someone to talk to, our troubles to impart. If we feel alone, our pen we must employ to write down what is deep within and let the pages talk. If we read between the lines, the answers we will find, the problems we face up to have come from deep within our mind. But at our shoulder we have help to guide us day by day. If we deal with truth in love, we are guided on our way.
Well, thank you, Teresa. This is Teresa Alexander. She is author and poet, Freedom from Within, A Gift of Love. Tell us how to get your book.
My book is available through Amazon.com. It's also available through BalboaPress.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And you can buy it, I believe that a lot of you buy e-books. That's a new word for me. But that's where you buy it, isn't it, on the internet?
Right, right. And you can download it, right.
Go for it.
That's right, go for it. Well, thank you for being on Indie Book Publishing and this interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you very much.
Steve, it's been my pleasure. Enjoy your day or everyone's body as well. Thank you very much and God bless.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready for the Not-So-Soccer Mom, Tuesday afternoons at 1 Eastern, noon Central, on TogiNet with Jill Hickey. You name it, from politics to pop culture to Jill's search for the perfect bronzer and chicken salad. The Not-So-Soccer Mom will weigh in on it all. The sentence, "I have no opinion about that," is one that Jill has never uttered. In the early 90s, Jill finally decided to put her thoughts, opinions, mom advice, love of pop culture, hummus, and Starbucks, working out, cosmetic shopping, and politics into an actual website, and thus NotSoSoccerMom.com. Mom was born. Shortly after her fourth child, a boy, Jerome, now she's really got tons of topics to share with you. This is Laugh Out Loud Funny, and we're not kidding. What's a loud Nebraska girl who lived in Little Rock for many years and now is up in the Northeast doing? Chronicling her opinions on everything. The wheels aren't off yet, but it's close. It's the Not-So-Soccer Mom with Jill Hickey, Tuesday afternoons at 1 Eastern, noon Central, on TogiNet.com.
Holidays and celebrations get you down and leave you feeling frazzled? Then join Sandy Fowler and her guests on Heartfilled Holidays every Monday at noon, 11 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Sandy will help you discover the secrets to having the celebrations you've always dreamed of while adding fun and meaning to your life. From Valentine's Day to Christmas to special family events, Sandy Fowler will show you how to put the fun and meaning back into those special days by taking a look at what we can do to turn the upcoming holidays into cherished memories and show us how to allow it to intertwine with everyday life. For more on the show, Sandy, and to receive Sandy's Holiday Happiness Booklet, go to HeartFilledHolidays.com. Then get set to discover the secrets to creating happy holidays and happy everydays by joining Sandy Fowler and her guests on Heartfilled Holidays every Monday at noon Eastern Standard Time on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, What on Earth Are We Doing Here? Exploring the Case for Human Suffering. And the author is Elaine Paya. And Elaine joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This special interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Elaine.
Hello.
Good to have you with us.
It's going to be glad to be here.
Very interesting discussion because to some degree or another, we all suffer and you've got some answers for us. We appreciate that. So I want to read a little bit about what you've written about your book. You say this: we are creating our future with every decision we make during every second of our day. These decisions shape our lives, and the suffering we see around us equals these choices in action. Life is not happening to us. Life is responding to us. Understanding that no higher source has inflicted this pain on us, but that we choose our challenges prior to birth, shifts our perceptions from victim to a place of personal power. No outside source is to blame for the status of our lives. We are in control. Well, that is reassuring. We want to feel and think we're in control. There's a lot of people, though, that don't think they're in control at all, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is the reason that I wanted to write the book was, you know, I started out on the same path everybody else did. I just, you know, was trying to figure out what the point was and what we were doing here. And I was raised Catholic, so I was put into that situation where there was a lot of guilt and a lot of blame and a lot of, being told exactly what the rules were and how to live your life, and it just didn't resonate with me. So I kind of jumped out there and started researching on my own and went after what felt right. And so I guess what started me on this path was to try to understand the difference between, you know, what I was hearing as spirituality versus religion or traditional religions.
You are a certified life coach with a Life Purpose Institute.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Life coaching is, you know, something new in the last decade or so. Well, it's been around longer than that, but it's kind of had an emergence in the last decade. And what it is we've just packed our lives with so much that sometimes we just aren't able to put it all in perspective. And a life coach is somebody that just can kind of come in, not a psychiatrist, but just almost like somebody guiding you a little bit, helping you try to figure out what's best for you. We don't give advice. What we do is just try to talk you through trying to figure out what it is that you really want and what you want to do and the choices that you want to make.
Give us more information following this statement, a message that you share in your book, and we've already mentioned it, but let's restate it. You are in control. No higher source is dictating your life for you. You wrote the plan.
Correct. Correct. We before we come to this state, Earth, planet Earth, we deal with creating and co-creating our life. So you basically were reincarnating through multiple lives with the goal of having our, the ultimate goal is to become one with the divine, with the higher source. And we're created from that, and we're working back towards that through different lives. So as we come, we're the ones that choose what lessons we want to learn. We don't necessarily choose that I'm on August 3rd going to miss the bus. But we do choose to have situations presented to us in various forms that are going to help us face those challenges, if it be, you know, being issues of abandonment or, you know, issues of learning compassion, those kind of things. We ask for those to be presented within our lives. So we travel with these soul groups, and they agree with us to come and present those situations. So that's why a lot of people feel familiar to us, why situations feel familiar to us, because we continue through these cycles until we learn those lessons. So essentially, the suffering that we're creating, if you were, had a rough childhood or however you want to define it, you actually chose to be born into that situation so you personally could fill out your destiny, fill out the lessons that you've desired from that situation.
So the question that is often asked by many,
right.
Why is this happening to me, is really null and void.
Exactly. So, and that was kind of the reason that I wanted to put this into words, because, you know, we live in a blame society. Who did this to me, and who's going to pay? When if you reverse that role and realize that you're actually the one that chose, and you're the one that's choosing as you go along, and no one's to blame, including a higher source, it changes completely how you lead your life. You then start believing and understanding that everything you do is connected to everything else, and it ultimately comes back to you. So you shift from, you know, revenge comes back to you, and you understand that. Acts of kindness come back to you, so you understand that. And so, yeah, it completely changes your focus in life.
So life is not, as you put it, happening to us. It is responding to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not something that, we're not puppets on a string. We didn't come down here with a predestined plot of life that this is just how it's going to be. We're creating it as we go. We did come down with goals or, you know, an objective of lessons to learn. You know, and if you learn those early, then, you know, you can even advance further. But, yeah, as life is being created with every choice we're making, we're creating our own life. So life is responding to our thoughts, our actions, our intentions.
And thus we have personal power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what, a lot of people don't think they have any power at all. But the way that we, you know, if you call it prayer, if you call it meditation, if you call it, you know, just thinking internally, whatever you call it, those are even your intentions that potentially manifest because you're putting out those thoughts, those intentions to create. Even if you're saying, why me, God, or help me, God, or those kind of things, you could also be meditating saying, you know, bring me more money, or, you know, it's all relative to, it doesn't matter what you call it, it's all putting out what your intentions are, what your hopes are. So you got to be careful of what you're thinking and what you're putting out there, because it will come back to you.
You talk about the importance of having an open mind that will lead to many new discoveries.
Yes, I think having an open mind is vital. Having been connected with several numerous people that have been kind of victims of what they've been taught, it's important to keep an open mind and kind of absorb what makes sense to you on your path. And if it doesn't make sense to you or isn't part of, you know, what you truly, truly believe, you know, leave it to the side and go on. But it may be working for somebody else. And having an open mind means that you're accepting everybody as part of the whole. We're all one. We're all created the same. You know, we're all here with a goal. So if the homeless man down the street bothers you, shift your focus from what he's providing to society. His existence in that capacity is providing an opportunity for people to learn compassion or, you know, to fight the things that, you know, if they have evil tendencies, or if you will, or anger issues and they get mad, you know, or react in a negative way, they're also learning their lessons through that. So every single thing on this planet has a reason and has a purpose. And to close your mind to that is a form of ignorance, because you're not accepting everybody for the contribution.
Developing more compassion for others, what does that develop in us?
Well, you know, compassion is what it's all about, because if you truly accept your own power and you're not blaming another source and you accept your own power, then everything that's brought into your life, or, you know, that's from you. That's not from somebody else. And so then you can start saying, well, they're not doing that to me. They're not, you know, they're not maybe calling me names, or they're not attacking me, or these things aren't happening to me because of them. They're happening because of me. So then the compassion comes from looking outside and seeing that everybody else has issues that they're working through and lessons they're learning. And so you know, it stops being a comparison or a competition between me and them. It's now they're doing this and I'm doing this, and they were brought into my life for me. And I'm also seeing them struggle, because we've all got things that we're working through. But, you know, at that point, understanding their contribution to the entire whole existence of humanity, without them, no matter who they are, what they are, without them, other people wouldn't be facing their choices or their goals, their lessons, and that would put, you know, a kink in the whole system.
Here's a thought in your book that is part of your theme, and it's very sobering. When we make a choice, mm-hmm. even the most minute choice, we are creating our future. We are creating karma for ourselves. We are reaping what we sow, and we eventually will have to pay that back somehow.
It is sobering if you're a person that makes a lot of choices that negatively affect others. You know, that's where this comes in. If you start to understand that you are making choices that affect you and you're in control, those kind of decisions begin to shift, because you realize if I act this way, eventually that's coming back to me. And reap what you sow, the golden rule, all that's been around for as long as anybody has written anything down. It's just, you know, people don't put the perspective together of, I'm actually in control of that. You know, a lot of people feel that.
And take responsibility for it, I guess.
Exactly. Ownership of, exactly.
Well, suffering is all around us. It seems to just get greater and greater. And it's very hard to understand. So what's the big picture here? Help us see clearly what's the process. How do we deal with this? And how do we, because of the suffering around us and even what we suffer, how can we have joy and even develop this greater power that you're talking about?
Right. Well, you know, suffering comes in a lot of different ways. Just the suffering that we feel when we've lost a loved one, or if we've lost something that we love, you know, a toy or a car, you know, something. Those are all from our attachments to either from our ego, because our ego is what keeps us tied to the world. But if you realize that you're actually a soul and you're happening to be in a body right now, but you're a soul that's going to continue, so you're really just here temporarily. And if we can remove those attachments or acknowledge those attachments, you know, if you're attached to, you know, a lot of people, the hoarders, it's a big show right now, but they are attached to those items because of the emotional component that it gives them. But if you can separate from that attachment and just exist, then suffering becomes, you know, like I said, it's in different stages. The suffering that we create on our own between in our relationships, you know, we get, our ego gets worried about what the other person's thinking, what the other person's going to do, all of those kind of things. But if you realize that control and that power that you have, the ownership, you're going to either not let a person treat you that way, or you're going to make sure that that's, you know, you work through that situation, communicate about it, work through it, that. So those types of suffering that we do every single day, you know, you got to start with, and everybody says it, loving yourself, accepting yourself, and then teaching other people how to treat you. You know, you show people how to treat you by what you accept or are willing to put up with. And then, you know, the suffering that we see in the world with, you know, disabilities or that kind of thing, that's a choice. You know, those souls came to this earth and they're providing a service to us. You know, you may see a homeless person or a disabled person and feel sorry for them, but in fact, they actually bring joy to nearly everybody that they come across. Once you've become accustomed to being around disabled people, everybody that comes in contact with them lightens their heart a little bit. They learn compassion. They, you know, they are opened up a little bit, and that's a lesson and a service that's being taught. So they're actually not suffering. A lot of them don't know the difference, you know, in this capacity, in their mental capacity here. They don't know the difference between our existence and there. They're just, as long as their basic needs are met, you know, it depends on what level of disability, obviously. But those, you know, that's not necessarily suffering. We call it suffering because we feel like that's maybe suffering. But if it's, somebody's in a painful situation where they're physically pain, you know, there's a lot of theories out there about that. As you know, you may suffer pain from a previous life of, you know, you were a king and you had people's feet cut off because they stole, and now your feet, you have issues with your ankles and your feet. So, I mean, there's a lot of things out there about that kind of suffering. But the large suffering that we see, you know, with maybe earthly issues, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, those are collective decisions by those groups of people, and it also is a service to humanity. When we see something happen like that, our immediate reaction is compassion, open heart, I want to help, you know, and those, again, are opportunities for us to grow. And without those opportunities for us to see and witness that, we don't have the opportunity to grow. So the groups that get involved in that, pre-birth, they decide that if the level of consciousness has not risen to the level that it should, as our evolution goes, we're willing to participate or volunteer for something that will help, again, create more compassion in the world. And, you know, if you write it out, too, almost always the situation, it may have been pretty bleak at the time, but it always turns out where the location or what turns out to be maybe a more advanced or turns out to be better in the long run, because then the services come in or the facility's rebuilt or whatever it is. You know, life actually becomes better after the fact.
The title of the book, What on Earth Are We Doing Here? Exploring the Case for Human Suffering, and the author is Elaine Pia. Elaine, tell us how to get your book.
You can get the book several ways. It's on Amazon, which is probably the easiest way. I do have a website, too, which is whatonearthareweDoingHere.com, where you can order it right off of that. You know, there's a fan book page which has the links as well. So if you're on Facebook, you can go onto Facebook and put in What on Earth Are We Doing Here to look for the fan page. So that's numerous ways, and it's easy. It's an easy read. It may need a couple reads, but it's a shorter book just because the concepts are so large. I wanted to just kind of initiate readers into the concepts, and then I hope to eventually write books that are a little more in-depth and go from there.
Elaine, thanks for being on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you so much.
Listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live 2-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com.
Was sad, right? Cause he had a death dear mommy and dad, right? But that ain't the case, nope. It wasn't his fate, nope. The Wands never struggled to communicate, ha. Y'all wave your hands, look who's on, yep. It's Dakota Man Keith, and he's number one.
It's That Keith Wan Show on TogiNet.com, Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central. Every week, That Keith Wan Show will have guests that share their experiences, expertise, opinions, and personal lives with us to hopefully help us better understand others. The topics and guests will come from the American Sign Language community. For more on Keith Wan and the show, go to his website, KeithWan.com. Listen with an open mind and willingness to learn and help with the cultural bridge.
Number one, Keith's number one. Everybody clap. Dakota Man's on. Number one, Keith's number one. Everybody clap, cause Dakota Man's on.
Don't miss That Keith Wan Show, Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, For the Love of Emery's. And the authors are Barbara Ann and Pete Simone, and they join us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Barbara Ann. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Steve.
Good to have you with us. First, I would like to read what you've written concerning the book so we can understand the theme. Christina's dream of owning a pet comes to a tragic halt after years of joy when her four-legged best friend dies. Heartbroken and filled with grief, she wonders how she will ever be happy again. Thanks to Misty, the magical dragon, Christy learns something about herself that not only helps her move through her grief, but also empowers her for the rest of her life. Well, that's a great, great message, because so many, young and old, we have to deal with grief for pets, for loved ones. Why did you decide to do this, Barbara Ann?
Well, Steve, first of all, Misty is a dragonfly, and she represents something that's very powerful within all of us that I have discovered to help us move through grief. I had the experience many years ago of owning a dog for about 10 years, and when he passed on, I was devastated, and I just wasn't sure how I was going to move through it. And through a series of experiences, which really are in the book that we wrote, I discovered something within me that is so powerful and so magnificent, and when I got in touch with that, I was able to move through the grief from losing this dog, and then able to go on, and I got other dogs and other cats, and that's really what the book is about, is that that changeless power of love that's within all of us, that Christina discovers in the story, and what Misty reminds her about, is something so powerful that really can support us to move through grief so we don't feel stuck anymore.
Pete, tell us about your background and how that aided in the creation of this book.
Well, Steve, my background is as a chemical engineer, and in spite of my chemical engineering training, I've always had a fascination with reading about science, and I read a lot about what's called metaphysics, which is really about the nature of reality. And I've read books from around the world, different philosophers, different perspectives. And one of the things that seemed to be prevalent in most everything that I've read had to do with the power of thought and feeling. When you combine those two together, you can have magical experiences occur in your life. And maybe, Barbara Ann, you could comment about that as well.
Well, when in the book, when Christina really gets in touch with the power of love that's inside of her and realizes that that love is changeless, she's then able to go on and move through the whole experience of grief and open up her heart to love again, to love another pet again. Now, along with that book, we have a workbook that parents and teachers can work with the child with the book. And in that workbook, we specifically talk about how one way to get through grief is as you contact that tremendous power of love with inside of you, if then you have loving thoughts and feel love for yourself and for life, you are able to get yourself to move through grief. You have that power. And that whole idea comes out with the workbook that goes along for the love of Emery's. So not only are we tapping into that power of love that brings us forward and creates, we are understanding that, yes, we do love, but let's think loving thoughts. Let's feel love for life. And that is really where the magic comes from. And that is the magic of Misty, the magical dragonfly.
And also the magic of your website.
Thank you.
Well, yes, Pete was the magician of the website, and all of that is, you know, it's uplifting. And you know what? That's an interesting idea, Steve, because when you look at the website, it is magical and it is uplifting, but yet it's about grief. And we all know that grief is anything but uplifting. You know, grief is that universal experience, yet personal, that we all feel when we lose someone. But what we wanted to do with Misty was to bring that idea of love, and love is uplifting, and love is magical. So no matter what you're going through with grief, that feeling of love, that is that magical feeling, can and does in the story bring Christina and bring all of us to another point.
As a matter of fact, Barbara Ann, you had mentioned in your book, in the very beginning, you say, and I quote, "Ultimately, the awareness of the power of love is the magic bridge that will help us all travel through life's experience of change, specifically when someone or something we cherish is gone." And that's really the point. It's that bridge that really carries us through, and it's getting through the grief that is what Misty is all about.
And you know, sometimes that is the hardest thing to feel when you're grieving. You don't feel love. You feel hurt. You feel anger. You feel upset and confused. You know, I work with children as a volunteer in this children bereavement program here in South Carolina. And, you know, all the different, you know, negative emotions that children experience during grief, I mean, the hardest one is to come back and love again. But as we look at all these emotions and as we choose to get rid of them, and let that love that's underneath all those emotions be, that's where the healing is, and that's how we do move through it.
And the website is?
It's magicalplanet.com.
Magicalplanet.com. Now, Christina and Emery are the best buddies. They have so much fun together. You build that so beautifully at the beginning of a book, and the illustrations are incredible.
I agree with you, Steve. My illustrator, Sarah Picarino, we worked diligently for about a year, and she really captured the soul of what this whole story is about. She's absolutely magnificent, and it's true that the relationship between Christina and Emery's is a relationship that I think so many people, children and adults, really get. I mean, our pets are our family members, and they're so important to us. And, you know, we're just not used to having, you know, one die after 5 or 10 years. I actually had Emery's for 10 years when that happened to me. But those relationships are so precious, and when they end, it really is a tragedy.
And Misty, the magical dragonfly, shows up just at the right time, and she has a very big question to ask Christina.
Yes, Misty's tagline is, "What's dragging you down?" And that is the question to have the child or an adult open up to be able to have a conversation with Misty. Our intention is for Misty to be that character where children can, you know, feel safe and be able to talk with her and to explain to her what's going on. So Misty really is a child's best friend when it comes to what's happening.
And she has a beautiful song.
Yes, Misty talks in rhymes. Now, when we have another story, the background story of Misty, it's called Misty Comes to Earth and How She Grew Her Wings. And one of the things she talks about is that, yes, from her planet where she's from, they a lot of times talk in rhymes. So it's the why rhyming is so important, because we really listen when words are rhyming. So I believe that as Misty was giving Christina this rhyme from her heart, that Christina really listened intently. And as she goes on in the story and meets the other dog, she really has that rhyme within her, and it really does help her transform her situation.
Yes, here's a verse. I sense the pain and loss you feel now that Emery's is gone, but know that deep within your heart, the love you shared lives on. Very well put.
And the third stanza, people, places, and things will change, yet love will always be. It lives in you and surrounds you too. Depend on it to lead. And that probably is the most important message, I guess, that Misty would say, is that everything in life is going to change. Christina's going to grow up. We all change. You know, the seasons change. Everything changes in life. So what can we depend on? In a world right now where everything seems to be changing so quickly, the one thing that we all can depend on is within us. It's that love within us. It's a very powerful force. And that really is the main message of this book, that Christina does absorb, that she can still love. It doesn't have to be Emery's. It can be another dog. It can be another cat or anything else. That's the changeless power of love, and that is the most powerful part of this story, and I think of our whole message.
And children love to dramatize stories.
Yes, they do. And when I used this book with the bereavement program here in South Carolina, I had brought in a pair of dragonfly wings. And, you know, they put the wings on, and the little girl was with a little boy saying, you know, what's dragging you down? And they loved that. They loved pretending to be Misty and being that magical dragonfly to help other children who are grieving. So it's a real friendly character that children, I believe, will really enjoy, acting out and learning more about her.
And I guess, Barbara, and you've noticed how, you know, this is quite a unique scenario, because when you try to talk to the children and all that, they really don't want to have anything that's preachy or anything like that. But when you start telling a story, you really captivate them and get their attention.
Right. This story opens up so many dialogues, and we have a free download on the website to help parents and teachers. But it opens up so many dialogues with the children about what happened to the loved one. I mean, in this story, you know, Emery's was cremated, and we've got the ashes, but it can open up dialogues about, you know, how the loved one, maybe there was a funeral. There's a part of the story where Christina finds out that Emery's has a disease and, you know, not sure how long Emery's will live. But Christina's mom suggests she looks on the bright side and enjoy every single day that she has with Emery's before he passes. That's another really invaluable lesson. So there's a lot of things going on in this story that parents and teachers can really use to open up tremendous healing dialogues with children.
Well, there's not another book on the market like this for children.
Absolutely not. This is a very unique deal, and it really comes from the actual experience that Barbara Ann had with her dog, Emery's. And so I don't know, Barbara Ann, if you want to comment about how long it took you to put all this together. But
I had this idea for the book for a couple years, but it finally came together when I started working with the Children's Bereavement Team here in South Carolina to understand how great it is to have a story for children to open up things that they may not want to talk about. And then to have somebody as lovable and likable as Misty, because, you know, you have grief and you're feeling awful, but you don't want to feel awful. You want to feel happy again. And Misty really brings that out in children to say, yes, you can feel great again. You can feel good. You're never going to forget. You know, we never forget our loved ones. And in the story, Christina realizes she'll never forget about Emery's, but her heart is so filled with love, she can choose to love again. And she can choose eventually to think those loving thoughts and feel those loving feelings and move on.
And because we thought this message was so critical, Barbara Ann has written the other book called Misty Comes to Earth, which is available to be downloaded from the website. And that really was targeting more tweens and teens. It's a little bit of a different type of story, but it's very deep, and it has some other downloads that go with it as well, so that children of all ages can benefit from Misty's message. And I think, Barbara Ann, didn't we say that basically anybody who ever lost a pet would benefit from reading the book?
Well, definitely. First of all, for the love of Emery's, we are definitely finding out that it's a great gift to give anyone, an adult, that lost a pet. Because what do we say when we know, you know, someone lost their, you know, their cat, their dog? When we met someone who lost their guinea pigs, they were devastated. What do we say? Well, here's a wonderful present for them, you know, just to say, hey, look at this. Here's something that might, you know, help you understand that, yes, people do understand what you're going through, and this is an uplifting message that you can really, you know, use during that grieving time.
And it's really ironic. We put this on the website, but it's ironic that something so personal can be so universal. And it seems like people feel like they're so alone when they're going through grief. Yet we all go through it. You would think it'd be something that we would share and talk about and all that, but everybody feels isolated because it feels like such a personal experience that you're going through. And the more that people can talk about it and the more that it gets out there and discussed, the easier it is to be able to move through.
So it can,
I agree. That's exactly right.
So it can be used by people of all different religious denominations.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, because I have found, and I've worked with children with all different religious denominations, and they all have, you know, they're very beautiful ideas of what happens to dogs, cats, and people when they move on after death. Yet, even though we're secure about that knowledge, the part of missing the person, the part of missing the animal, that's the hard part. We know they're fine, But when, you know, when the dog or cat is not there in the home anymore, or where the aunt or uncle or, you know, a sibling, after someone has moved on, that's the hardest part. So, yes, grief is universal. It transcends all religious and all religious, you know, traditions and cultural traditions. It's that feeling of that loss. And that's really what Misty wants to bring forth, a healing idea of how to move through that.
The title of the book, For the Love of Emery's, the authors Barbara Ann and Pete Simone. Tell us how to get your book.
The greatest way to get the book is to go to our website, magicalplanet.com, and just click on For the Love of Emery's. You can buy it from Balboa Press and some other places. Also, there's a workbook that goes with For the Love of Emery's that I highly would suggest for anyone, any parent or counselor, or even just for a friend that you want to work with, to go through the whole book and to really understand how to move through the process. Also, there's Misty Comes to Earth, which is the whole background story of Misty, available on the website, and that's for teens and tweens. And there's some other free downloads also,
including Misty's Magical Message for Children.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for being with us on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.